When you think of fitness, what springs to mind? A short, sharp run? A high-intensity workout? Kickboxing? Well, did you know you can still reap the benefits if you're not pushing yourself that hard? For example, there's something called NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis. And its proponents say that incidental activity, walking, gardening, fidgeting, can have a huge impact on your health and well-being. This is very exciting news for me, I have to say. Have you incorporated some extra incidental activity into your life? What changes did you notice? Tony Blazevich is Professor of Biomechanics and Director of the Centre for Exercise and Sports Science Research at Edith Cowan University. Tony, welcome to Life Matters.
Morning, Hilary. I hope everything's going well.
Yes, yeah, fidgeting away here, really burning the calories. Before we delve too far into how it works, can you describe exactly what NEAT means, N-E-A-T?
Yeah, NEAT, non-exercise activity thermogenesis, which is just a sexy way of saying we're burning energy, which of course liberates heat in that sort of metabolic process. It includes everything, all the activity that's not deliberate exercise. You just mentioned fidgeting. You've of course just been talking about going for a walk. It could be gardening, could even be dancing in the living room. All of that comes under this sort of need, this energy that we burn. And I guess the other term that you may have heard is NEPA, non-exercise physical activity. So that non-exercise physical activity causes the energy sort of burning, the NEAT, if you will.
Is it a blurry line? I mean, dancing in the living room sounds a little bit like exercise.
Yeah, it sounds like exercise, but it's physical activity. But I guess it's the sort of the researchers in this area have decided that if you do it spontaneously, it's not in a deliberate setting, then we call it NEAT or NEPA rather than deliberate exercise. So if you go to a dance class every week and do deliberate dance training, we would call that physical exercise. If you go to the gym and do a rumba class, you know, that's physical exercise. But if you just happen to hear a great song and decide for the next 4 minutes you're going to dance in the living room, that's just additional incidental exercise.
Someone sent a text saying, just put your tea and coffee upstairs. Sorted.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. How did we used to get this kind of activity back in the day, and what's changed?
Well, I guess two things have changed. So you probably hear, you know, back in the Paleolithic era, you know, we had to walk and, you know, to get food, and we had to dig to get roots, and we had to do a lot of physical activity. Actually, humans, of course, are innately lazy. We prefer not to do physical activity. We just had to. And then I guess in the 1800s, you had the Industrial Revolution. So now lifting and pushing and pulling and digging could be mechanized. But really now we have that computerization, that digital lifestyle. So now more than 70% of us sit for our living. We can drive the car to the shop. We can get it delivered online if we want to. And even our entertainment. I mean, our entertainment is what? TVs, tablets, phones, computer games. We're humans are remarkable creatures for making life easier for ourselves, which has a lot of positive outcomes. But of course, in this regard of physical activity, it's also causing us some problems.
I did see one personal trainer online saying, you know, we've got all these labour-saving devices, even your toothbrush. You don't have to move it around anymore. I'm like, back off, yeah, Sonny Jim. Don't take my toothbrush away from me.
That's exactly right. There's a line.
It's about how we choose to use our time, isn't it? Rather than, you know, saying we should go back to washing our clothes by hand.
Yeah, exactly right. I think the key is really is that awareness, that awareness of every once in a while, even in our very busy lifestyles, of just taking a bit of a helicopter view of what we do in our daily life. And I guess the key to that is really recognizing all the benefits, which I'm sure we'll talk about, and just understanding that just moving has, you know, huge benefits for both physical and mental health, even if, and this is probably why I don't tend to use the NEAT term. Thermogenesis sounds awesome, and we always talk about body fat and BMIs and everything else, but the benefit of movement far outstrips any benefit you'll get from just burning energy per se or losing the body fat per se. And once you sort of understand a bit more about that, you'll probably be desperate to move a bit more.
Yeah, that really broke my mind, that high intensity exercise, the formal exercise that we think of when we talk about exercise, I mean, it has benefits, but it's got a really small impact on your total daily energy expenditure. So it's maybe not that great if you're trying to lose weight.
Yeah, and no one wants to hear that. I mean, don't get me wrong. If you've got these athletes out there training for, you know, 2 hours a day at high intensity, something like 50% of all their energy output is in that deliberate exercise. But for most of us who are kind of moving through the day, and then do our, you know, half hour of exercise as we're taught to by the guidelines, it really is quite a small amount of physical activity. And of course, once you move, there are processes going on in your body that help to make us eat a bit more as well. So the overall benefit from just a weight loss point of view is relatively minor. But of course, the mental and physical health benefits are quite phenomenal.
Well, let's talk a bit more about those. What kind of benefits do we see when we just up that incidental activity, the non-exercise physical activity in our day without really worrying too much about the formal high-intensity stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's pretend you're not going to, you know, move your entire occupation from being an office worker to a farmer. And we're really talking about you and your current environment. You've probably got kids or stresses at home and you're just trying to make those minutes and minutes here and there. I guess there are several effects that are really important, and we can pick a few apart if you want to go into more detail. And the first one is that increase in energy output. I mean, of course, over a small amount of time, you're not going to get abs by adding a bit of gardening or walking to your daily routine, fidgeting a bit more. But you know, if you start to talk about 10 and 20 years down the track, the current evidence is that it can make a noticeable difference to your body weight and to your body fat. So it will have an effect. It's just not going to do it by next week. But the big key is the increase in general movement. If we move through the day, so think about what it's like if you laid on the lounge for 8 hours, or if you sat and barely moved at all in your office for 8 hours, and then someone said, right, we're going down the shop, but it's 2 kilometres away, we're going to walk. You tend to sort of say, I really don't feel like walking. You notice how you feel more tired when you sit around and do nothing. Mm-hmm. A lot of physiological reasons for that. But if you just take small amounts of time. Every hour, you're doing a couple of minutes where you walk to the printer, walk to the toilet, walk to see a colleague, do the dishes if you're working at home, quickly get out into the garden and do a bit of weeding. That sort of daily or through the day movement means that when you then say in the afternoon, well, there's a 2K walk to the shop, actually, you've been moving a bit all day and you tend to make that choice in a different way.
So, Tony Blazevic, that means you can actually use it as an indicator of your overall health.
Well, yeah, exactly right. Yeah, well, you'd know that, right? If you've got kids at home and you haven't played much for a while and you start playing with the kids, you get tired. Or as you said, if you've left your coffee or tea upstairs and you walk up to get it and you realise that you're getting more tired at the top of the stairs, then that can be a nice indicator that you're probably not moving as much. And when you get that feedback, we tend to want to do something about it. You know, when you don't feel well, you start to think, well, maybe I need to do something.
And Tony Blazevic, I should mention, we're speaking with Tony Blazevic, who's a professor of biomechanics and director of the Centre for Exercise and Sports Science Research at Edith Cowan University. And we're talking about NEPA, non-exercise physical activity, those incidental things that we kind of do during the day that get us moving that aren't, you know, putting the lycra on necessarily. Tony, you mentioned some mental health benefits. What are they?
Well, there's quite a few. I mean, let's just take going for a walk, and let's pretend it's going for a walk outside. So when you walk, your muscles are working, and your muscles are a reservoir of these signaling molecules, these anti-inflammatory proteins that can flood your body. They talk to your liver, they talk to your fatty tissues, they talk to your bones, they reduce inflammation. So think of it that every time you're moving, you're flooding your body with healthful stuff. So that's a really nice way to think of it. When you're moving, you're also increasing your blood flow, and that includes not only to your body and through your arteries to renew those arteries, it triggers self-renewal, but it also goes to your brain to increase brain blood flow, which is really good to get oxygen and everything to it. But we also notice that there are hormones released that directly affect the brain, the number of synapses in the brain, the way the brain is connected. It can affect our memory and our cognition. So going for a walk is great. And then as far as the real specific mental health benefits, the immediate benefits, you've got both an increase in those happy hormones, you know, the endorphins. When you start to move, particularly at low intensities, you tend to get a lot of the endorphins. You might notice if you haven't done gym for ages and you're trying to do a gym workout, it feels awful, and that's because there's a lot of stress hormones there. So that lower intensity stuff doesn't tend to give you that. But you also release things like serotonin, which you may have heard of, which makes us feel better. It binds to receptors in our brain and makes us feel better. And then if you are outside, even with your sunnies on, the sunlight hitting the iris of the eye seems to be really important. In countries where you don't see a lot of sunlight through the winter, you know, in Northern Europe, for example, where a lot of research has been done, Northern US, of course, that you have that sad, that seasonal affective disorder, and it's very clear that getting a little bit of sunshine is very, very helpful. So for your mental health, for releasing those molecules, for improving memory and cognition and everything else, just getting around and moving can have pretty dramatic effects.
We're getting some texts on this. One says, I find vacuuming is great movement. True. And Kim says, taking a break used to mean having a sit down, and now it means getting up and walking around, and that's why we're in trouble. Tony, what effect does it have if, you know, when we talk about exercise, everyone just assumes we're talking about formal exercise, where you do put the gear on and go and do a specific thing at a particular intensity. What effect does that have, particularly for people who don't feel comfortable in those settings, if we just aren't taking into account the amazing benefits of incidental activity?
Yeah, that is, to be fair, that is a problem. And that's a problem in the research, because if we want to see whether exercise is having an effect, we sort of want to give a decent dose, right? No one's going to give us, you know, a lot of funding to do a project that probably isn't going to show everything. So in order to understand the effects of exercise, the benefits of exercise, we sort of exercise someone a lot. So then when it gets to the media and they say, hey, these researchers just found these amazing effects, they say, well, what did they do? Ah, well, you know, they jogged for half an hour every day, or they, you know, did gym every day, or whatever they did. But the other problem is, of course, media. You know, media have to put on some sort of image on TV to show people moving and exercising. So they'll, you know, might have someone walking outside in the park, but they generally say, well, let's get someone on the bike in their Lycra, let's get someone in the gym lifting weights. And that's really nice visuals. So I think we tend to get that idea. And not only, as I said, as you exercise more, those stress hormones that we can produce are really reduced. And so the overwhelming effects of the positive hormones win, right? So I'm not saying that always when you run or lift weights, it doesn't feel well. But for those of you who don't do it, when you first do it, it can feel a bit awful. And that can make you not want to do it, especially if you don't understand what's going on. You just feels awful. I hate going to the gym, don't I? But also, if we can give options and show people that going out and sort of digging in the garden, not even with a shovel, I mean, just weeding or dancing in a lounge room, fidgeting more, walking a long way to the toilet, parking your car at the furthest part of the car park, and just taking that sort of time to yourself and being a little bit selfish and saying, oh, you know, I'm not going to get to work for another couple of minutes, and I don't care if I'm a few minutes late. You know, that sort of stuff is a great way to accumulate the physical activity, to have those mental and physical health benefits. And like I say, once you choose to do that, when humans choose to be a certain thing and to ingrain a certain lifestyle into themselves, they then make better choices elsewhere. You know, you tend to then think, oh, actually, I wouldn't mind that, you know, better food, or I'm not going to bother having that extra beer tonight. Or it doesn't mean you hate life, but you just tend to want to make better choices elsewhere. So there's offshoots.
It does not mean you hate life. That's so true. Yeah, it's like you're rewriting the script about yourself. I am the kind of person who gets exercise, even if it's just incidental exercise, and that is a good thing. Tony, thanks for helping us switch the script a bit here on Life Matters today.
No problem at all. Have a great rest of your day then.
Thank you. Great talking with you. Tony Blazevich, Professor of Biomechanics, Director of the Centre for Exercise and Sports Science Research at Edith Cowan University, has given me permission to fidget as much as I like.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.